Today's podcast is brought to you by Audible. Get a free audiobook download and 30-day free trial at audibletrial.com/book-versus-movie. There are over 180,000 titles to choose from for your iPhone, Android, Kindle, or MP3 player. Thanks so much.
Well, ain't no sense in walking when you can ride. Come on.
I ain't getting in that thing.
You ain't never rode in a car before, have you?
I ain't no car. Looks like something from Mars.
Mars? Yeah, what the hell do you know about Mars, anyway? I bet you ain't never been past the mouth of this holler. Come on now, get in this thing.
I said I ain't getting in it, and I ain't. If you like it so much, you can walk it home.
Oh, Lord, them pies ain't the only thing salty about you, are they? Wait a minute. Wait, we'll walk it then. Wait.
Hello and welcome to Book Versus Movie. This is the podcast where we read books that have been adapted into movies, and then we try to decide which we like better, the book or the movie. I am Margot P. of ColoniaBook.com, and this is my good friend and co-host, Margot D. of Brooklyn Fit Chick.
Hi, everyone.
So, if you're new, or perhaps listening to this in the future, we are recording this during the great quarantine of 2020. I, Margot P., am in San Diego, and Margot D. is in Brooklyn. And we've been inside for quite a while now. And it's pouring rain in San Diego, so all my family is also indoors in our small house. In fact, I think my husband is taking a virtual exercise class in our living room right now via Zoom. So, you know, so there may be some background things that come up, but we're very, very glad that you joined us. We hope that you are safe and healthy and well wherever you are listening to us. And we have been trying to crank out a new episode every week during the quarantine. So this is our latest one.
Yeah, we've been just sticking to either short stories or novellas, or quite frankly, something we know we can kind of dive through pretty quickly, because what we do is we read the book, read about the author, and then we watch the movie, and then we try to decide which we like better, but we try to do a little bit of research and stuff like that. So right now we're just picking shorter, quicker things or autobiographies, because those you and I usually can just kind of dive through pretty quickly. And Yes, I am based in Brooklyn, and both Margot and I at this time, well, for a long time, we've both been living near hospitals, and normally that doesn't matter, but during this kind of a time, occasionally we might have to mute the mic for a sec because of sirens, or the kid upstairs for me has the zoomies every once in a while and I can kind of hear him. So guys, please just be understanding, like we're bringing this to you because we love the show. And we want to thank Chris, by the way, in our Facebook group, because he's the one who suggested the book and movie that we're doing today. But I guess this is a good opportunity for me to talk about social media.
Yes, please do.
Okay, so you can find us. We have a basic Facebook page. Be sure to like that, because we leave all the episodes there. But we have a Facebook group. And what you do is you go into Facebook and you type in Book vs. Movie Podcast Group. And we do much more. We're much more interactive there. We have discussions about current episodes and future episodes and just news going on in the book world and the library world and stuff like that. It's just a nice place to talk about books and movies. So be sure to join if you're interested in that. We're on Twitter at Book Versus Movie. You spell out Book Versus a Movie. We have an Instagram page, Book Versus Movie Podcast. We have an email. It's Book Versus Movie Podcast. Spelled it all out at gmail.com. We have stickers. If y'all want some stickers, I go for a walk every day and I go to a different mailbox. I've got my different mailboxes about a mile and a half from my apartment. I've figured them all out. So I will drop them in the mail for you guys. And what else can I tell them about, Margot? I guess the Patreon page.
Indeed, yes.
We also have a Patreon page. We just started it last year. We have a $1, $3, and $5 level. And if it's just if you want to throw a few bucks in our direction just to help us keep the podcast going, we have over 50 episodes. We've been on the air for, it's going to be 6 years in the fall, Margot. It's 5.5 years now. And
that's so crazy.
Isn't that insane? We have over 50 episodes there. So if you are interested, you can listen to back episodes and stuff like that. So once again, that's patreon.com/book-versus-movie.
So today's special brand new episode was so much fun, let me just say. Mm-hmm. We are doing Coal Miner's Daughter, which I've never read. I'd never read it before. Had you?
No, I didn't know that it was a book first. So I got very excited when Chris said, oh, did you guys know that this was an autobiography and it's also on Kindle? And I think you and I instantly at the same time bought the Kindle book at the same time.
Oh, am I buying this?
So this is a movie that came out 40 years ago, which I can't believe. It came out in 19...
Oh my gosh, I feel so old.
I feel incredibly old. Margaret and I are old. We are Gen Xers. When this movie came out in 1980, it was a big hit and it won a lot of awards. It was a big deal at the Academy Awards. And I could tell, I remember this from the 80s. I don't know about you, but it was on TNT or TBS all the time.
It was always on TV.
Always.
Yes. It was constantly on TV.
I think it's
I don't know what the licensing deal was or something, but yeah.
It was always on there. So it's like, I think it's like a generation of us like grew up with this movie and, or it's just a part of our DNA, but it was on all the time. So I didn't realize it was based on a book. So I was very excited when Chris and the podcast, Facebook group, excuse me, said that we should be covering it because I'm just super excited about it. And her birthday, by the way, Loretta Lynn is our author and our subject today. Her birthday is April 14th. So that's next week. She will be 88 years old.
Amazing.
Yeah.
And okay. So I don't even know how many times I've seen this movie.
I don't either.
Because for what Margo just said, I mean, so many times. I also had never, I'm surprised now in retrospect, having seen it so many times, that I never even, it even though it says right in the beginning that it's based on a book.
Yeah.
It never sunk into me that it's based on a book. And so sometimes you see a biopic. Do we say biopic or do we say biopic?
Biopic.
Biopic. you see a biopic and the bios aren't always that amazing, you know? Mm-hmm. We were just talking before we came on the air, like instances where the book, where the movie is better than the book. Sometimes it's, when it's a biopic, the movie can be better than the book because not all autobiographies are fabulous. I like autobiographies. I've read a lot of really crappy ones. Mm-hmm. And I think I just kind of thought this one maybe so great. And I just have never read it before. And so, and it's short. It's not that long of a read.
Mm-mm.
But I loved it.
I did too.
It was so good.
It was like my treat to myself every night. I would go to bed early.
Yes.
I know. And I would just pick it up. And it's like she's just telling you her story. And especially if you've seen this movie as many times as you and I have, and I've just seen her on television over the years, and I've always had a fondness for her. It's like she's in the room with you. She's like Dolly Parton level, like a cool country person that I just...
Yeah.
I would see her in a second if she went in concert. If she was in concert, I would want to go see her in a second. I just think she's so interesting and down to earth. And yeah, I don't know what else to say. This, it's an autobiography that came out in 1976. Well, we were just babies, so how would we know? But still.
Right.
Yeah.
But still, I mean, I don't remember anybody saying like, oh, you must read mm-hmm. Coal Miner's Daughter. And it's written with, she has not exactly a ghostwriter. His name is, I don't know how you pronounce it, George
Vesey.
Vesey. And what I love, I mean, he did a brilliant job of really capturing her voice mm-hmm. without making fun of her in any way. And I also love that throughout the book, because it really is, it really does, it's her voice. It's so her. And she even refers to George throughout the book. He refers to her writer who's following her around and putting the book together. But yeah, it just really, it's beautiful. I loved it. It's such a fun read.
Should I go into the just going to talk about the author first and then we can go into the book specifically?
Yeah.
Okay. So as I said, her name's Loretta Lynn. She was born Loretta Webb, April 14th, 1932. She, by the way, the big story was is that she had she got married at 13 and had kids by 18. She actually got married at 15, almost 16. She's been fudging about her age for many, many years. which is fine. I mean, it's just, it's a show business thing. But she married Oliver Doolittle Lynn January 10th, 1948. They would go on to have six kids together. She was the second oldest out of eight kids. Her father did work in the coal mines. He died of black lung disease at 51. Her husband, when they got married, they moved to Washington State. They were there for about 10 years. His name is Doolittle because even though his name is Oliver's, because when he came back from World War II, he did very little. He just tried to do as little as possible. So they called him Doolittle. And anyway, so Doo bought her a guitar for their anniversary and she learned to play it and she started playing local clubs and she started playing with her brother. In 1960, she had a first little minor hit. It was called I'm a Honky Tonk Girl. They moved to Nashville. She became a regular at the Grand Ole Opry. She was friends with Patsy Cline for a couple of years. And in the latter part of the 60s, around 1967, is when she started having a string of number one hits. And here are some of the titles. Don't Come Home Drinking with Lovin' on Your Mind. You Ain't Woman Enough to Take My Man. Fist City.
I love Fist City.
It's so good. And Coal Miner's Daughter. Like I said, she wrote this autobiography in 1976. She's really known for, if you hipsters out there, she worked with Jack White in 2004 for Van Leer Rose, which is a really cool album. And it was nominated for a ton of Grammys and things like that. She's just released, by the way, Margo, we're doing this just in time. She released this week her third book, and it's called Me and Patsy Kicking Up Dust, which she co-wrote with her daughter, Patsy Lynn. And it's all about her friendship with Patsy Cline. My God, she's written over 150 songs. She is the first woman in country music to have a gold record. In 1972, she's the first woman named Entertainer of the Year by the Country Music Association. She's the only woman that's been named Entertainer of the Decade by the Country Music Association. She's in the Songwriters Hall of Fame. She has the Grammy Lifetime Achievement Award. She's Artist of a Lifetime by CMT. And she won the Presidential Freedom Award, or she was awarded, excuse me, in 2013. Doo, her husband, died in 1996. He was 69. And that's when she wrote her second book, which is called Still Woman Enough. And in that one, she talks a lot more about what really, really was going on with her marriage with Doo. You kind of get the idea with this book, but she after he passed away, she kind of spilled the tea. She became a grandmother by the time she was 34. 3 years ago, excuse me, she had a stroke, but she's okay. In 2018, she had broken her hip, but she's doing okay now, like I said, and she's talking about her new book, and it's all about her and Patsy Cline. So that's our author. And Margo, let's talk about Coal Miner's Daughter.
Oh, I know. I mean, if you've seen the movie, then you know the story. The movie's pretty true to the book, but the main thing about the book is just and the thing about her always is that she is just herself. Mm-hmm. You know, she always is just lays it all out, is always completely down to earth. And is, you know, just really straightforward about her views about things and her, you know, I don't know what else to say. I mean, it's just, she's so genuine and never, you know, there was this story, the story that she tells about when she was talking to Patton, remember? Like she goes, she's at the White House at a luncheon.
Pat Nixon, did you say?
Yeah, Pat Nixon.
Okay.
And she asks Pat, like there was some, she asked Pat why the president didn't release this one, it was about the Vietnam War. Anyway, but she's just really straight talking and still is. And people feel like they know her and she just writes about her life. And I love this book. It's just wonderful.
I was surprised. There's a few things that you don't hear about in the movie. They kind of stick to the highlights. I mean, one of them being for me is like, and she doesn't like to say that she is. She kind of says like, oh, I'm not a feminist and feminism bores me and stuff. But she's very open about
it. She really is.
But she really is. Sorry. I don't know. You know, yeah. I don't know if you're the first time hearing this, sorry, but you are. In the 1970s, she was very vocal about being pro-choice. And she wrote a book, she wrote a song, excuse me, about the pill. And that was all about good for you, women. You know, have a baby when you want to have a baby. Don't have one just because you just got married and you just had sex for the first time in your life and you don't know how to figure things out. She was very open about that. She was very sickly, and I didn't realize how bad it was. But did she have breast cancer, or she had all these tumors?
She did. She had. I don't think she had cancer, but she. It sounds to me like she had a couple of serious breast tumors. That she had several things that were health issues that she struggled with always. She and her father both struggled with migraines and high blood pressure. Her father, he had black lung disease, but he also had high blood, you know, he had a stroke. And so she kind of seems to have had many of his same ailments. And she, especially living life on the road, is so stressful. And she was saying that, you know, she had trouble keeping weight on because she would just get stressed and not eat and
right.
And was running herself ragged. And it's kind of amazing that she didn't get into any kind of serious addiction issues, really, with all of her various things that she struggled with. But yeah, she's very open about her health and remarkably open about her marriage. I mean, I know later on she goes into more detail, but she's still, I mean, pretty frank.
Yeah, at the time, I mean, this would feel like we said it was 1976. And this is the time when, like, you did not want to be in the National Enquirer. Like, that could really ruin your career. There wasn't, like, an Entertainment Tonight or something that you could spin your story. So for her to be so open and like, yeah, well, I think he sort of, you know, bird dogged a little bit on me, but we stick with it together. I mean, she did marry him a month after meeting him. She was just a teenager, and he just kind of talked her parents into it and took her away, and she immediately had kids. She had no idea. She didn't know what sex was. So
yeah,
on her wedding night, she was terrified. And like, she had to learn, basically, like Patsy Cline kind of taught her some things apparently, and she learned over time. But in this book, she makes it sound like they've had their issues, and like, you know, I gave it back to him just as much as he gave it to me. But I get the feeling that she and there was also, did you see there was a Lifetime movie out last fall, and it was called Patsy and Loretta. It was and it was with Megan Hilty and Jesse Mueller, who played Carol King on Broadway. And I get the feeling like they both were married to very volatile men. And that was like but also being incredibly talented women and ahead of their time. But that, and she really credits Patsy with saying to her, like, this is how you talk to business people. This is how you talk to men in the music business. If they try to pinch you, this is how you handle it. And she had this ally. And then when Patsy died, she felt so lost. And that was only in 1963. And like I said, she didn't really have a hit until 1967. That's when she really started getting popular. But she credits Patsy and everything Patsy taught her for helping her handle the success. But she's also very frank about, I wish I was a better mother. And that's what I was kind of, I was really impressed with how open she was about that. Like, she was the breadwinner.
She really was. Yeah. She talks about a lot of regrets that she had with her kids, all of her kids, even the twins that she had at the end when they were very successful. Just really interesting. Another thing that the movie doesn't really talk about is that brings up a lot in the book is her Native American heritage, which apparently she's like super conscious of and very proud of. And also another thing that's in the book that is not in the movie at all, you know, she did a lot to help. She did a lot of kind of philanthropic work and benefits and things like that for a lot of causes that she believes in. And you don't really see any of that in the movie, but it's something that she really, it seems like she's devoted a great part of her life to. She does still live in Tennessee. I don't think she lives in that house anymore. I think it's a museum now.
Yeah, you can visit it. And Margo, it's supposedly very haunted.
I know.
Which I was like, Margo loves this.
I do. Yeah. So she says that her mom, so both of her parents had Native American, quite a bit of Native American ancestry. And her mom, she says, was psychic and could tell tell, read Coffee Grounds. She would read Coffee Grounds, and she would have like premonitions and dreams and stuff. And Loretta Lynn also supposedly has these like psychic abilities. And yes, supposedly their ranch that they live on, or they lived on in the movie and in the book, which is called Hurricane Mills, was quite haunted. It was a big Civil War site, and so it's supposedly super ghosty.
And you can visit it. I mean, you can't do it now, obviously. Everything's closed right now. But it's something I would definitely be interested in seeing. It's like one of the seventh. It's like the seventh most popular attraction in Tennessee or something. I think I read that somewhere.
Well, yeah, because is Dollywood in Tennessee?
Is that Kentucky?
Where's Dollywood?
Where is?
I don't remember.
Where is Dollywood? Oh no, it said the Bollywood workout. Never mind. Never mind, Alexa.
Let's see. I'll find out. I got to know now. Hollywood in Pigeon Forge, Tennessee.
Oh, wow. Okay. That's another place I want to go because they had that Dolly Parton, you know, that podcast about Dolly Parton this past year. That was really excellent.
But anyway, she's fascinating. She's just fascinating. And oh, by the way, her baby sister is Crystal Gayle.
I mean, on top of everything. Yeah. She goes into and at the end of the book, she talks about, we were talking about her regrets with her life. And then she talks about each of her, and I love the fact she gave each of her kids, you know, she gave them some space and talked about them. Her oldest boy, unfortunately, passed away in the early 80s. And then it turns out his son, her first grandson, he passed away a few years ago. I don't know what from. I know, but my heart broke because she said like he was her favorite and that. But yeah, she's in her second book, her second autobiography, she was much more open about Dew being a cheater, and to the point that he kind of had a mistress almost in every town, and that one of the times when she was actually giving birth in the hospital, he was with somebody else. So it was a lot more intense than what we get from the movie. But you know, she was young when she married him, and you know, he was the reason she got a guitar. He was the reason that she went on stage in the first place. She didn't want to do it. So she's very conflicted because, yes, it was a very toxic relationship in many ways, but in many ways, it was the reason they were able to live the life that they could, that they did, you know?
Yeah, it's complicated.
Right.
Yeah. You see this in the movie, but in the book, she goes into more detail how in the very beginning, when she was pregnant, and I think he knew that she was pregnant, when he sends her back to her parents, in the movie, I don't think he supposedly doesn't know, but I think he actually did know. And she says that he had this girlfriend that he wanted to get back with, and so he sent her back to her parents. So yeah, but then again, and then she also says, you know, that he, especially with their youngest, to the twins, the very youngest of their kids, that he was really a great father and really there for their children. And, you know, he really raised the two girls and had really close relationships with them. So yeah, it's very complex.
Yeah.
But it's a great book. Yeah. I liked that too, that she devoted a good amount of time to each one of her children about like what was special about them. And yeah, I thought that was really nice too.
So should we pivot to the movie?
Yeah.
Okay, I'm going to play the trailer. This is the original trailer. It's 3 minutes. But
it's long.
It's long, but it's a good one. So we'll play that right now.
Loretta's getting to be a woman. Going on 14. You know, the first time I ever seen you, I said me and that little old gal's gonna get together.
I can't breathe. I feel like I'm gonna faint. Well, that's the way you're supposed to feel when you're in love.
Mr. and Ms. Webb, me and Loretta is fixing to get married.
Promise me, boy. Don't you never hit her.
Sorry, Loretta, but you can't.
I just need a little more time.
You need a little more time to learn how to love your man the way you're supposed to.
Do, are you leaving?
There ain't nothing for me in Kentucky, Loretta. Except a chest full of coal dust and being an old man time I'm 40.
I'm gonna have a baby. But maybe it'll turn to something that'll raise a Titanic someday. What'd you get me a guitar for?
Because I like the way you sing.
Have I, could I tell you now? You boys, stop fighting and listen to me sing. I love him still. Many nights I've laid.
Brand new on the Zero label. Miss Loreen Lynn.
What?
Singing.
It's Loretta. It's Loretta Lynn.
So let's give a great big grand old Opry welcome to Miss Loretta Lynn.
You're number 14 nationwide.
I should hate you.
Ladies and gentlemen, make welcome Miss Loretta Lynn.
I'm getting run to death out there. I need somebody to take care of me. Woman, if you want to keep that arm, you better get it off of my husband.
Make welcome, please, the young lady with 21 number one records, Miss Loretta Lynn.
Baby, they're out there waiting on you now. You don't want to let them down.
Don't tell me about letting them down.
The first lady of country music, Miss Loretta Lynn.
Things is moving too fast in my life. Dude, if it's going to break us up, I'll quit.
Successful people don't quit, baby.
Not much.
So the movie comes out March 7th, 1980. Once again, I feel very old. It was 40 years ago. And it was directed by Michael Apted. And Sissy Spacek, we talked about her when we talked about Stephen King's Carrie and when we talked about The Help. She plays Loretta Lynn. She's playing guitar and she's doing all the singing. And she didn't want to do it at first. She was really intimidated by the project.
Well, you would be, wouldn't you? I mean,
yeah.
It's quite a role. I mean, first of all, just the amount of growing up that the character does, you know, the book and the movie, I guess too, you know, it's 15 years of her life, mm-hmm. but she goes from being a tiny child to being a grandmother,
right.
like in those 15 years. So, because I believe her oldest child, her daughter, she was also a teenager. So it's a lot of life that happens in those 15 years and going from being, you know, when they move to Washington State, they're, I think he's working in the logging industry and she's, mm-hmm. she's a farm worker. She's picking, she talks about, she's picking, yeah, she's out in the fields picking.
And she didn't know what
babies.
She didn't know what she was. She didn't know what sex was. She barely knew what pregnancy was. She had
you couldn't even read or write very well.
No, she stopped going to school when she was young. She's from a very poor, impoverished part of the country. And I like the fact that this movie illustrates it very well without being condescending. And it feels very real. And by the way, we should mention Tommy Lee Jones is Doolittle. He's the perfect person. I mean, because
he's so great.
Because he can be like really scary, and then like really like a puppy dog. You know, you could see both sides. That he's riding around that Jeep like a crazy person. It's mm-hmm. great. And then Levon Helm plays Ted Webb. So Levon Helm, if you don't know who that is, he was in The Band, which is, if you didn't know that, there's a band that was called The Band. It's a fantastic, listen to them. If you've never listened to their music, listen to them. He had an amazing voice. He was only, but this is funny because Sissy Spacek was 31 when she made this. Levon was only 40 when he made this. He was playing her father, mm-hmm. and this is his first acting role. He's incredible in this movie. I forget how great he is.
He's really super good.
Yeah.
He's heartbreaking.
Yeah.
He's wonderful. Yeah, I agree. I love her parents. I love this movie is so well directed.
Yeah.
And I like that what you just mentioned a second ago, that, you know, this is someone from very, you know, just when she describes in the book, the kind of coal mining that her father did,
mm-hmm.
I was crying. It just sounds just hideous. He's bent over on his knees the whole time. And I mean, it was just awful. And it could have been in the wrong hands. It could have come off as, yeah, like you said, as making fun of it, but it's very, very respectful all the way around, just like the book is. And I really like that. And I really love the casting just all the way around. Her parents.
Yeah.
I adore her parents. Oh, what's your name? Larry and his brother Daryl and his other brother Daryl.
William Sanderson.
Yes. Plays her uncle.
Yeah, Lee Dolloride. We talked about him when we talked about Blade Runner. That's in our Patreon, by the way, if you want to hear that one. But yeah, he's William Sanderson's there. He's not there for very long. I always forget that I forget to mention, we spoil here. We'll spoil things. Sorry about that. He is dispatched. I love the scenes where they're, you know, because when you read it in the book, and I forgot about this, like she makes the chocolate pie. And so they're having this and she used salt instead of sugar because she didn't have to cook for years and years and years. And like, that's very true, like in the movie. And I liked the dance that they were there. And like you said, like there's scenes of like very, you know, people who don't have a lot of money, but they're doing the best they can to earn a living and mm-hmm. find joy where they can find joy, which is usually in music and dancing and telling stories. And so that's where she kind of gets it from. And I just loved it. Then when they go, should be mentioned also that Beverly D'Angelo is in this movie and she plays Patsy Cline. And Sissy Spacek and Beverly D'Angelo not only did their own singing in the movie, they sang live in front of an audience. And they sang live at the Opry. And they were singing live as Loretta Lynn and Patsy Cline. Like, can you think of anything more intimidating for an actor?
And they did it so well. I mean, they really captured each woman's character.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, musically. Just, it's amazing that they were able to do that. I love Beverly D'Angelo as Patsy Cline.
It's an unusual choice because I see her always as blonde, you know, just that she's known for her really beautiful blonde hair. But she makes a great Patsy Cline. And it's just like in the book and the movie and in life, Patsy was in a horrible car accident with her brother and she had to get major plastic surgery and she was terrified because like she was supporting her family and that was her, she was a young career, but she had heard Loretta Lynn singing her songs and like just her husband went, picked her up and brought Loretta in to meet Patsy. And they, you know, there was no jealousy between them. And there was, Loretta got, and I love how she mentions in the book, like people said, I slept around, you know, that's why I was on the Opry all the time. And she calls people out on there. That's a great story that they don't have in the movie, is that there were these women that were trying to get the rumor around that Loretta Lynn was sleeping her way into the Grand Ole Opry.
Yeah.
And they put it on a party line. And then Patsy Cline was on the party line. And she goes, oh, let's all talk about this. And then Patsy gave Loretta a really great dress. And they showed up together in front of these women. And then they were like, oh, shit. And Patsy was basically saying, don't mess with her. She's with me. And anyway, their relationship and their friendship was super, super important. It was helping her get confidence. But, you know, just like they said, they mentioned this book and they say it show in the movie and in life, like Dew was also always trying to control her and he helped mm-hmm. create her. But then it got away from him because she became famous and she became
and was also
confident.
Like, you know, a human.
Yes, and you're right, and a smart human being, and very capable, and has a yeah. lot of fighting spirit in her. She really,
yes.
she has so much. And I mean, I'm like, I'm shocked when I hear about all these illnesses that she had. Like, she's 88 years old, and this is somebody who had tumors in the 70s when that was like, forget it,
right?
You know,
seriously, yeah. And when her own, but I got the impression that her mom lived quite a while.
Her mom did, yeah. So her mom for a while took care of the father and the mother, they left the coal industry to move to Indiana because he thought that would be better, but he died in a couple of years. It was already kind of too late. So then the mother went out to Washington and then she took care of the kids for a while, but then that got to be too hard for her and then they had to get a whole string of babysitters. But your long answer to your question, yes, I think she lived a little bit longer.
Yeah. It's such a remarkable life, and I just love this movie. I think the art direction is great. Mm-hmm. The scenery is the cinematography is so well done. Like, you know, those beautiful mountains and the darkness of the coal mine and the vastness of the road when they're on the road. And, you know, like when they get to the Opry and she looks up and it's like towering over her that mm-hmm. first time she sees it. It's just beautifully shot. When they're singing, I love when she and Patsy are singing in the rain at the county fair.
Oh my God, I love that shot. Because
yeah.
I just sit there, I'm like, oh my, they are such troopers with all that yeah. hair and that. And by the way, the hair and makeup in this movie is, ugh, Sissy Spacek's hair, the wigs, whatever they put on her, are amazing.
The journey of her hair.
The hair journey.
Just like it's perfect. I just love it. I love this movie so much. But you know, having read the book for the first time, I loved this book.
I know.
It was really, I mean, I couldn't put it down. It was so fun to read. And I want to read her other books now. And I don't think that I can give a fair call about book versus movie because, you know, like you mentioned, I've seen this movie so many times
mm-hmm.
and love it. And I've only read the book just this one time in this last week. So I want to say movie, but that's not really fair because I've seen the movie a gazillion times and I've only read the book once.
Did I mention, by the way, that it was nominated for several Academy Awards, Best Picture, Best Writing, Cinematography, Sound, and Editing. And Sissy Spacek is the one who won the Oscar that year. Mm-hmm. And I put a clip in the Facebook group and Goldie Hawn was up there for Private Benjamin. Like there's all these like incredible actresses.
Yeah.
But I wanted to read something to you because one of our members of our Facebook group met Sissy Spacek. And
oh.
Yes. Let me look it up. Hold on. Okay, here it is. Oh, so this comes from Jane in the Facebook group. She said this when she's singing the Titanic to her kids. I was in a little town in Russia several years ago and sang this at dinner. Everyone sings or plays an instrument during dinner. Years later, Sissy Spacek did a book signing talk in D.C. and I told her this story. Her face lit up. She took my hand and talked to me for several minutes. She was so kind and genuine. I've also seen Loretta Lynn twice in concert, and she's still touring. So thank you, Jane, for sharing that story. I mean, I can't imagine meeting Sissy Spacek. I think I'd be totally tongue-tied.
I probably would, too. I just love her.
Yeah. So.
Yeah. So good.
I'm the same as you, Margot. So I'm kind of caught in between. I'm going to call it a tie, but I think I'm going to get that book, that the Patsy book that she's writing, that she's promoting right now. It's, by the way, I looked it up. It's on Audible, and we Audible has a bunch of stuff that's free right now. You guys should check it out. But if you want to sign up for their service and get a free month, go to audibletrial.com/book-versus-movie. This is on there, and it's Patsy Lynn that's reading it, but she sounds just like her mom. And let me just look up the title of that again.
Yeah, she's one of the twins.
Yes. It's called...
Yeah, Peggy and Patsy.
So the book is called Me and Patsy Kicking Up Dust. So that's the Loretta Lynn book that's out right now, and it's available on Audible. And yeah, for Book Versus Movie, I think it's a tie. And I really want to get her second book now, the one that she wrote right after Dew passed away. I kind of really need to know now everything.
Yeah, right?
Know. She's so interesting.
Me too.
Yeah.
So what are we doing next?
We had a request from our mutual friend, Brandy, and she mentioned Matilda.
Matilda.
I know. It's Roald Dahl. I think it's her, one of her daughter's favorites. It's very easy to get the book and the movie. So we had that. We have a couple of other ideas. The Secret Life of Walter Mitty. That's a super, super short story.
Mm-hmm.
And then another one I thought that was interesting, and we could all be doing all these, you guys, so just don't worry. Tuck Everlasting.
Yes. It may be a while.
Yeah, we might be doing this for a while.
Okay.
And Tuck Everlasting, which I've never heard of before, but I started looking it up, and that looked interesting too. And that's, I think, another YA book. But so those are like the biggest contenders right now.
Okay. What was the middle one?
The Secret Life of Walter Mitty.
Walter Mitty.
Which I've never read and I've never seen.
Oh, you've never seen it?
Never. And there's a new one that has Ben Stiller.
Ben Stiller.
Yeah.
Yes. But I think it would be fun to do the old one with Danny Kaye.
It's available.
Okay. Let's do that one.
Okay. We'll do that one.
And then we'll do Matilda.
Okay. Good. We have that on there. All right. And also, I forgot to mention, you guys, if you leave us a 5-star review in iTunes, we'll mention on the air. And I wanted to give a special shout out to Caravan Boy, has been a fan for many, many years of ours. They're from Texas. And they actually requested His Girl Friday, which is available in paperback, but it's not available on Kindle. So it's kind of, I know.
We're kind of, yeah.
Especially the way things are right now.
Stuck. Yeah, we're kind of stuck that way. Under normals, in normal times. That would be great.
In normal times, if something's only available like in paperback, we could order it from Amazon, and you know, you're getting
it
from
the library,
or at the library. But if you know, if you were to get it from Amazon, it could take a week or it could take a month, because it just depends on these little bookstores that sell them when they have time to put the order through. Where the way things are right now, it's got to be available digitally. We have to be able to get it quickly, because we just don't know. So that's the way it's going to have to be. All right. So that was from Thaddeus, our super fan. So The Secret Life of Walter Mitty, and we're going to, you can watch the newer one if you want, but we're going to talk about the Danny Kaye version instead.
Right.
Okay.
Yes.
That's next week. So that's very, and it's only like a 15-page book, you guys. It's really quick to go through. So,
oh, that is short.
Yeah. So Margo, where can they find you?
You can find me on the internet at coloniabook.com, and all of my social media callouts are at She's Nacho Mama. And where can they find you?
You can find me on social media at Brooklyn Fitchick. That's for Facebook, Twitter, and Instagram. I'm mostly active, though, on Twitter and Instagram. And my blog is brooklynfitchick.com. And I guess we'll be back in a couple of weeks, you guys, with The Secret Life of Walter Mitty.
Sing for us. Oh, she's going to do a song that she wrote herself called Honky Tonk Girl.
And, honey, what key is it in?
Oh, y'all just go right and play along, and she'll follow you just fine. Go ahead, and y'all just play.
She does talk, don't she, partner? I mean, generally, people that can sing can talk.
Oh, she talk up storms, she feels like.
All right.
Y'all settle down here now. Be quiet. Darling, come over here and sit on my knee. You'll have a lot better view. Boy, sit up here now. Sit up big. Listen to your mama.
All right, tape is rolling. We're ready. Let's go for take one.
Thank you so much for listening to the Book Versus Movie podcast. We are a part of the Electronic Media Collective. We follow the hashtags Podern Family and Lady Pod Squad. And we record all of our shows on the Zoom Handy H4N, donated to us by our friend Nick at the Dependent Independent Podcast.
We were poor, but we had love. That's the one thing that Daddy made sure of. shovel coal to make a poor man's dollar.